بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Allah help us and give us tawfiq that in the short span Allah enable us to benefit maximum from the glorious, beautiful lives of the greatest of people, the most illustrious of all people. We were in the discussion of this great sahabi whom through the barakah of the khidmah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made his name shine throughout the entire globe. His name shone and continues to shine because of the sahabiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and due to the khidmat that he made for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an extraordinary life he lived. We were in the discussion wherein Allah's Nabi would share beautiful advices and pertinent advices to him. On one occasion, he even narrates how Allah's Nabi was humorous with his brother. He says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed the grief on my brother's face. He was a little boy. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu and this child shared the same mother, Hazrat Umm Sulaym radiallahu anha. This young child, Abu Umayr's father's name was Hazrat Abu Talha radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mali ara Abu Umayr in hazinan? What's the matter that I see Abu Umayr upset, he's hurt? Allahu Akbar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would notice the expressions on people's faces. And Allah's Nabi tried to cheer them up and bring joy and happiness to them and bring a smile to every person's face. O Nabi of Allah, his little bird passed away. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried to cheer him up. Ya Aba Umayr ma fa'alan nughayr. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says, at times Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was light-hearted with me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed I like this certain herb, so he named me by that. Kannani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi baqlatin kuntu ajtaniha. So Allah's Nabi would say Abu Hamza, referring to this herb that he would pick up and partake of. So we learn lightheartedness is also part of deen, but obviously there is a limit to everything. And if that lightheartedness is in Allah's obedience and it encourages Allah's obedience, it brings joy to people, it has truthfulness in it, there's encouragement in it, alhamdulillah, it is definitely rewarding. But if it is something to hurt somebody, وَلَا سُرُورَ أَحَدٍ بِمُسَاءِ أَحَدٍ, if that lightheartedness could insult somebody or bring down somebody or upset somebody, then in that case it's not rewarding. If it causes disunity, if it causes misunderstandings, if it removes, and obviously such kind of lightheartedness will remove one's respect. So such kind of heartedness, we have to, lightheartedness or humor, we have to be wary of. We cannot make fun of somebody's hurt or due to bringing down somebody. May Allah Ta'ala save us from such practices. But the greatest joy is to bring a smile to people. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after the fara'id deeds, the best deed is idkhaluka surur, to bring joy to another human being, especially a Muslim. The words of Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah are so beautiful, wherein he said, afid tab'aka al-makduda bil-jidd rahatan wa'allilhu bi-shay'in min al-mazhi walakin idha a'tayta al-mazha falyakun ala qadri ma yu'ta al-ta'am min al-milhi. He says, sometimes bring about some light-heartedness in that serious condition that you are in, bring lightheartedness and some sort of joy and so forth. But obviously there's a limit to everything. Like in the meal, there has to be salt, but to a limit. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says so beautifully that it pleases me when a man is like a child amongst his family. But when and the need arises, he's a man. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once noticed a Bedouin performing salah rather hastily. And after completing his salah, he made dua, Oh Allah, marry me to a damsel in paradise. So afterwards, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu remarked, your cash payment was substandard, but you're proposing for the finest. So obviously, there is that sort of lightheartedness as well. Allah Ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Under this discussion of lightheartedness, there's an interesting incident where an elderly woman, some reports mention her as Safiya radiallahu anha, mentioned to Allah, or asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, regarding entry into Jannah, will I get Jannah in this manner of mine? Allah's Nabi said no. And like this, she became emotional immediately. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking pity on her, explained to her that what I meant is that in this condition of yours, you won't get. Allah will make you young, and you will enter Jannah in a young, beautiful manner. So this was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's humor with her, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. It's reported that a woman complained to a governor about her husband. And one of the reasons was that he was her senior in age. But this did not prevent her from complaining about him. After hearing her objections, the husband then said, "O ruler, O governor, O judge, the worst portion of a woman's life is her latter half, whilst the best portion of a man's life is his latter half." Then he further elaborates, "As a woman ages, she cannot bear children, her tongue becomes more abusive, and her temperament worsens. On the contrary, when a man ages, his counsel is sought, his forbearance increases, and his ignorance diminishes." Once a beggar presented himself at the door of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and requested the doorkeeper to advise his master that his brother is at the door. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu could not visualize the beggar even after the doorkeeper tried to describe him physically. He finally said, "Best is to usher the man in." When he arrived before Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah asked, "How are you my brother?" He replied, "I am the son of Adam and Hawa." After hearing the reply, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu instructed his servant to give the beggar a dirham. So this man said, the beggar said, "How can you only give your brother one dirham?" Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu responded, "That if I were to give something to every single brother of mine from the children of Adam and Hawa, radiallahu anhuma alayhim as-salam, you would not even receive this one dirham." So we learn that even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum responded with wisdom and wit. Ibn Zayd rahimahullah mentions that my father said to me that Ata bin Yasar rahimahullah would lecture Abu Hazim rahimahullah and myself, and then he would advise us, and at times he would make us cry, and then he would lecture us and we would end up laughing. And he then would remark, "There is time for this and there is time for that." Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu won Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as. Abu Nu'aym mentioned the report where his mother Ummu Sulaym radiallahu anha requested Allah's Nabi to make du'a for him. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conferred many du'as upon him. And through this Allah blessed him with many children. One report mentions 125 children. In one report, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by and my mother heard Allah's Nabi. So she said, "O Nabi of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed on you. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I came with a request. My little Anas, Unayis, my beloved Anas, Allah's Nabi made du'as." He says, "I saw both of those du'as in this world. I'm hoping for the third, wherein Allah Ta'ala will grant me his forgiveness due to the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion I asked Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, on the day of judgment, I request, I plead your intercession." Allah's Nabi said, "Done, ana fa'il, I will do so." Subhanallah. How much of benefits he acquired and he received due to khidmah. And I said, "O Nabi of Allah, where can I find you on the day of judgment?" Because Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, all his life he would say, that I will say to my Nabi on the day of judgment, "Ya Rasulullah, hadha khuwaydimuka unais, this is your little khadim." This is your, obviously Hazrat Anas is saying this out of humility, that, "Oh my Nabi," he says, "I will say on the day of judgment, Oh my Nabi, not khadim, khuwaydimuk, this is your little khadim." As though Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu is teaching us the qualities and the mizaj of making khidmah, that one deems himself unfit, despite Hazrat Anas being so fit for the task, but this should be the mizaj of serving Allah's deen, serving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making khidmah of the pious, and Allah giving one the opportunity to do so. One should feel in one's heart that really, Allah, I am inadequate, I am unfit. That's why he uses the word khuwaydim and he uses the word unis. He says, "Oh my Nabi, where will I find you qiyamat ke din?" Allah's Nabi says, "Look for me by the sirat." O Nabi of Allah, then, if I don't see you there, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then by the mizan. O my Nabi, if I don't see you by the scales, the mizan, Allah's Nabi says, then by the hood, my hood, I will be there in these three places. فَإِنِّي لَا أُخْطِئُ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ الْمَوَاطِنِ. This is a report in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And amazing is why Allah's Nabi would be by these three places on the occasion, on Qiyamat Ke Din, on the Day of Judgment. Why would Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be there? The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the condition of humanity on the Day of Judgment, where all of humanity, all the nations of all the Anbiya alayhim salawatu wassalam would go to all the Anbiya alayhim salam, seeking their intercession on the Day of Judgment. And every Nabi of Allah would actually deem himself and consider himself unfit for that. And finally, when they reach Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam would say, only Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam can solve this for you. Go to him. And when all of Allah's creation, all the children of Adam alayhi salam come to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will make sajda before Allah, and he will praise Allah, and he will glorify the merciful, kind, loving, compassionate Allah in such a manner that Allah would say, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sal tu'ta, ishfa' tushaffa, ask. Whatever you ask, Allah is granted. Intercede for whomsoever you want. Your intercession is accepted, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's condition from Jalal, grandeur and glory and might and power, where Allah's grandeur will be exhibited on the Day of Judgment, after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sajda, ulama explain, will be turned and will come into the condition of jamal and beauty, compassion, mercy. Why Allah Ta'ala makes it such that all of humanity goes via all the great Anbiya alayhi wasalam and finally come to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why weren't they guided to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at first? Because ulama explain that Allah wants to exhibit the beauty and the status of his beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment as well. And here in this report, Allah's Nabi would be found by Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, and in turn by the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on these occasions. Why by the sirat? Why by the mizan? Why by the hud? Because on these occasions also, he'll be waiting for his ummah. He'll be waiting and making dua that his ummatis can pass the sirat peacefully. The pul sirat, the bridge above Jahannam, is a deadly string and bridge, thinner than a hair string, sharper than a blade. Only Allah can push a person through. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be interceding for his ummah on that occasion as well. By the scales where the deeds will be weighed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be waiting for intercession. And by the pond, to see that his ummah and humanity receive this water from the pond of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would teach the ummah the importance of the hud, the importance of the pond. Allah Ta'ala speaks about this great pond of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be blessed with on the Day of Judgment. Allah speaks of this bounty in Surah Kawthar, where Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, verily we have granted thee al-kawthar." Kawthar is the hyperbolized form of kathir. It's emphatic. It increases emphasis and value. Like kathir means abundant, kawthar means much more. So mufassirin explain the encompassing meaning of kawthar. It refers to so many wonderful bounties Allah has blessed his beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam with. More so, the special pond Allah gifted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherefrom his ummah would drink. And the water of this pond is so mubarak and so special that when one takes one sip from this pond, never ever would one become thirsty again. May Allah through his mercy bless us and grant us from the hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In a hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the humongous size of this pond, subhanallah, and the water, the description of the water, and the beautiful swans swimming in that kawthar of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu met certain people who were denying the pond. And then he was in sadness and grief and said, I never thought to live till such a time that people can deny this pond. He says, I know old people. I know senior people living from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. After every salah, they ask Allah regarding the blessings of the pond. So it hurt Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu that people were going astray in this regard. Because Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would preserve the sunan of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every practice he learned from his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life, on every occasion he brought alive these beautiful sunan. Shu'bah bin Sayyar says, I was walking with Thabit Bunani rahimahullah. And Thabit Bunani, Hazrat Thabit Bunani was a great tabi'i. He was a very close student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, Thabit Bunani passed these young children playing and he greeted them. And he says, I was with my teacher Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Anas would greet these children. And Hazrat Anas said, that I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَمَرَّ عَلَى صِبْيَانٍ فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ Allah's Nabi passed by young children and Allah's Nabi greeted them. Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah's beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't wait for the young to come to him. Allah's Nabi greeted every person. Allah's Nabi greeted the children. We should be of those who will greet people first. Why should we wait for people to greet us? We should please Allah Ta'ala and make ourselves humble for Allah's sake and for the love of the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the Sahaba would do, as Hazrat Anas would do. Thabit Bunani was a very close student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He would make khidmat of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, like Hazrat Anas would make khidmat of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Thabit Bunani would actually kiss the hands of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would make sure that he applies itar on his hands, saying that the student of mine would always want to kiss my hands. On one occasion, a man came to Hazrat Thabit Bunani asking for assistance, that he needed something from the governor. It was in Basra. And only Thabit Bunani could intercede on his behalf. And despite his busy schedule, he took out time and went with this individual to speak to the governor concerning this individual's need and difficulty. And en route, whenever Hazrat Thabit Bunani would pass a masjid, he would perform few raka'at and make dua. And this individual would wait. And finally, when they reached the governor, he interceded in behalf of this individual, and this man's work got done and his need was fulfilled. And as they returned, Hazrat Thabit Bunani said to this individual, I know it might be strange to you, it might have been some difficulty, you know, for you to wait for me after, as we would pass the masajid making dua and making raka'at. But I must tell you that as I would enter the masajid and make dua and perform salah, I was actually asking Allah for the fulfillment of your need. Ya Allah, I was making dua and making salah that Allah fulfill your need. He didn't say that I am a man of contact, I am respected, I'll talk to the governor, he'll sort it out. No, no. As we pass the masjid, we ask Allah, only Allah can make him do it. Allah is the door. What can makhluk do? What can makhluk do? This is what Sahaba radiallahu anhu would teach. That if you give, actually Allah is giving. We appreciate you because Allah says appreciate. And if you refuse, it's actually Allah who's refusing, and you are excused for the fact that you are not giving. It's actually not you, it's actually from my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. When Thabit Bunani passed away, it was so interesting that his students, as they were burying him, they find that a few pieces of the wood fell, and as they were straightening it, one student, Humayd Tawil, noticed that his teacher, Thabit Bunani, who in turn is the student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, was performing salah in his grave. So he calls to the other student to notice this. And from inside the grave, he says to his student, remain silent, keep quiet. And as they completed the burial, he goes straight to the home of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Thabit Bunani rahimahullah, asking that what was the amal of Thabit Bunani. When they asked why, and he gave his reasons, they said that this is what he would ask Allah whenever he made ibadah, that, oh Allah, how can I live a life without ibadah, without salah, without the sweetness of salah? How they found joy and sweetness. The student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu finds sweetness in salah. And then he would ask Allah, Allah, if you afford anyone the opportunity to perform salah in the grave, allow me that opportunity. Because I can never imagine that period that I spend that time in the grave without salah. There's an amazing hadith in Ibn Majah where it is made for a believer. It is made for a believer to imagine that the sun is setting and a believer wakes up in the grave and he says, my salah, my salah. And this should be our mizaj. This should be our concern, our salah. Hazrat Anas bin Sirin, why Thabit Bunani had this quality? Where does he learn it from? Hazrat Anas bin Sirin describes the salah of his teacher, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. So this is another student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He says, "Kana Anas ibn Malikin ahsan al-nasi salatan fil hadari wa safar." My teacher, Hazrat Anas bin Malik, performed the most beautiful, most impeccable salah, whether he was in his residence or whether he was on journey. His salah was up to date. His salah was perfect. This is mentioned in Dhahabi Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala. His salah was so perfect. His salah was so perfect. And all the sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jariri says, rahimahullah, that when Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would don the ihram for hajj from an area called Dhat wa'irqin, he would not talk anything futile. And he would only be in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala. And yes, even out of ihram, he was never ever indulged in anything futile. Hammam bin Yahya mentions from those who accompanied Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu in Hajj, he says that you would not even be able to talk to him about anything that was in jest or waste, because he was so important, gave so much of importance to his ihram. May Allah Ta'ala accept us all to perform our Hajj and Umrah correctly and with pabandi and importance and ibadah. Thumama bin Anas, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's son, whose name was Thumama, he says, when my father Hazrat Anas would speak, he would repeat his words three times. And he would mention that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا تكلم تكلم ثلاثا, when Allah's Nabi was explaining something pertinent, Allah's Nabi would repeat his words thrice. Abu Sa'id, one of the narrators in the chain of this report, mentions that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also seek permission to enter upon someone three times. Meaning, if he was calling for someone or entering, wanting to meet someone, Allah's Nabi would knock the door three times. Meaning, knock it once, and then wait a while, and then the second, and then the third. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would uphold all these beautiful sunan, and even his meals. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would love what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. Let's admire his importance of sunnah. That even Allah's Nabi loved to eat something, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu would want to eat exactly as Allah's Nabi wanted to eat. Sulaiman Taimi rahimahullah, who was a student of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, he says, whenever we came to visit Hazrat Anas, whatever meals we partook with him, there was always pumpkin, calabash. There was always that in his meal. Abu Talut says, I came to visit Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, and he was eating this pumpkin in his meal, and I heard him say, Ya laki min shajaratin ma uhibbuki illa lihubbi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iyaki. He addressed this vegetable and he said, that what a tree are you? I love you because Rasulullah loved you. So he would give importance to everything connected to the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us the love of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loved what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. He did as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. This is true love. As the friend of Allah says, تَعْصِ الْإِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُذْهِرُ حُبَّهُ. You defy the Maker, you defy our Allah, and you express verbally that you love Him when you disobey Him. هذا العمري في القياس شنيع. This doesn't make sense at all. إن كان حبك صادقا لأطعته. If your love was sincere, you would have abided and obeyed. إن المحب لمن يحب مطيع. The lover is obedient to his beloved and never ever defies him. When we defy our beloved Allah Ta'ala and we go contrary to the beloved sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means our claim of love is but a lie. Allah says in the Quran Kareem, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَانِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who go contrary to Allah's command, those who go contrary to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings and injunctions, Allah says, let them be wary, let them be careful, فَلْيَحْذَرْ, that Allah's, that fitna will afflict them, or a painful punishment will befall them. due to being contrary to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say we love Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, tell them, O Nabi of Allah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. Allah poses this question, that you may love these eight things, but the love of these eight can never be more than the love of these three. What is that? Aba'ukum, your parents, wa abna'ukum, your children, wa ikhwanukum, your brothers and sisters, wa azwajukum, your wives, wa ashiratukum, and your relatives, and your wealth that you hoard and acquire, and your trade and your businesses and your commerce that you fear its loss and drop, and your homes, your dwellings, that you love very much, tardunaha. If you love these things, that Allah Ta'ala blessed you with these things, and they are bounties from Allah, and you remember where they came from, that they are Allah's bounties upon you, and you appreciate Allah for these bounties, it is permissible. But if these things, ahabba ilaykum, become more beloved to you on the scale, so this is a thermometer for every person to analyze his own life. Ahabba ilaykum, if these eight are more beloved to you, min Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa rasulihi, then the rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more beloved to you than striving for Allah and sacrificing for Allah. Allah says in Surah Tawbah, this is one of the last revealed chapters in the Quran Kareem, فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Allah says, then wait. Allah's punishment is coming. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Allah's decision is coming. Because Allah loves not those who are fasiq, those who are sinners. And from here we learn, those who forget that these bounties come from Allah, and He prioritizes these gifts of Allah over and above the love of Allah and His Rasul and striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means this is a sign of fisq and sin. Allah save us, Allah save us. Hazrat Habib Bunani rahimahullah says, I one day visited my teacher Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, and I said to him, Hazrat, your eyes have seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak eyes. He says, yes, in the affirmative. And then I kissed his eyes. And I said to him, your feet walked in fulfilling the needs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, yes, and I kissed his feet. Then I said to him, your hands poured water for Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in appreciation and humility, he said, yes. So I kissed his hands. And then Hazrat Anas says to me, O Thabit, when I poured water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was performing his wudu, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, O young man, ya ghulam, asbighil wudu, make wudu properly in accordance to sunnah. Yuzad fi umrik, Allah would increase your life and bless your life. And make salam common, wa afshi salam, Allah will increase you in good deeds. And recite Quran abundantly, wa akthir min qira'atil Quran, you would come on the day of judgment like this. And Allah's Nabi indicated with his hands, bi isba'i, the middle finger and the shahada finger, as sababa wal wusta. Something else amazing about Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was any need that came upon him, he asked Allah. He turned to Allah directly. Even his properties that he had, if he faced any challenge, if there was need for rain, if the lands were facing the condition of drought, he immediately turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thabit Bunani rahimahullah says, one day, the man in charge of the farm of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's lands had so much of barakah because of Rasulullah s.a.w.'s dua, the barakah of khidmah, that the man in charge of his farm comes to him and says, Hazrat, that there's no water and the lands are dry. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu went out and he performed salah and he made dua. Hazrat Thabit says, we know it was not season of water. He says, immediately the clouds came and it rained upon the property of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And then he sent one of his children to see, and the water encompassed the entire property of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu and a little bit further than that. Subhanallah. And Sahaba's du'as, Allah would send rain. Rahabi rahimahullah says, what an amazing karama is this. of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, and this is narrated with a sound chain of narration. It comes in other reports in the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah sent down rain on the du'as of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Yazid bin Aswad rahimahullah, and Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hujr bin Adi radiallahu anhum, and many, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu. Allah sent down rain immediately as the Sahaba would ask Allah Ta'ala for rain. Because really they learn from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever difficulty we face, we ask Allah Ta'ala immediately. In one report as mentioned in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, his man in charge of the garden, or the gardener, comes to him in a time where there was need of rain and there was no water at all. He immediately asked for water to make wudu, and he made dua, and he performed salah and made dua. Then he said, he asked me, do you see anything? I said, no, I don't see any water. Then he asked Allah the second time and the third time. One report mentions, and the fourth time. And then we see a little bit of clouds circumambulating or coming or accumulating. And then it increased. It was first like the wing of a bird, and then it became like a cloud. And then he continued in dua. And then the man in charge of his farm comes and says, Hazrat, it's raining and it's pouring. And then he says, just ride this horse that Bishr bin Shahaf sent and see how far has the rain reached in the land. And he went and he rode, and he sees it encompasses the entire property of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, right till Qusur al-Musayyareen and Qasr al-Ghadban. These are areas where, up till where the water came on the dua of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the expeditions of jihad as well. When he was asked about Badr, did you participate in Badr? He said, of course, where would I be? And he was so young. But this shows that even though the others were sent back on the occasions of Badr and Uhud, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu had special concession due to the barakah of khidmah. Badr he was there, and all the expeditions, Khandaq, and even on the occasion of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, he mentions how Sahaba went through the difficulties, and then they were then told to return without performing the Umrah, and this hurt them very much. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these verses of Quran, Surah Fath was revealed, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, and Hazrat Anas says, radiyallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, such ayat have been revealed that are more beloved to me than the entire dunya and whatever it contains. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates further that when Allah's Nabi recited all these verses, and then a man asked, O Nabi of Allah, Hani and Mari'an, Ya Rasulullah, how fortunate for you, O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Ta'ala has explained how Allah Ta'ala has raised you and Allah has protected you from sins. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهِ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ, that Allah Ta'ala has completed His bounties upon you and Allah has forgiven you even though you haven't perpetrated any wrong. That's why لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهِ, one meaning, Ya Allah has forgiven you everything, even though you haven't sinned at all. And that's why the other meaning of لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهِ is Allah has barred you and protected you from any sin and any wrong. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never perpetrate any sin, and Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So the Sahabi says, O Nabi of Allah, you're so fortunate. Allah has already told you your condition in this world and the hereafter. But what about us? What's going to happen to us? فَمَاذَا يَفْعَلُ بِنَا, what will happen to us? Then Allah revealed the verses of the Quran, لِيُدْخِلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, Allah Ta'ala will even place the believers into gardens underneath which rivers flow. So Sahaba were happy that the Ummah was also told that Allah Ta'ala will forgive the Ummah as well. Hazrat Anas was there on the occasion of Fath Makkah. He was there on the occasion of Hunayn. And when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, Allahu Akbar, this was the hardest time for Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And so many of the ahadith concerning the departure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from this world, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates those ahadith explaining to the ummah what had happened to the world, what difficulties had befallen the ummah on the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will come to that. But after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this dunya, when many people left the iman, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was out with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, bringing the people back to Iman. He says, I was there when Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas had already donned his kafan, placing the perfume of the deceased, saying to them, and I asked him, And you know what's happening? So he said, this is, how can we just sit back when this is what's happening? And Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas, on this day, he was wearing his kafan and he strove in Allah Ta'ala's way until he was shaheed. And so many other sahaba, radiallahu anhum, he narrates how Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, radiallahu anhum, became shaheed in Qadisiyah whilst he was holding onto the banner. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was there in Qadisiyah. And very, very interesting is where Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, also with his brother Bara bin Malik, Anas bin Malik and Bara bin Malik. One is where Bara bin Malik jumped into the garden of death against Musaylimah Kadhab, and how Allah Ta'ala blessed him where he opened the door for the Muslims. But from all these incidents, one is such an amazing incident that shows us the bravery of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. He was with the Muslims sieging the city called Tustar. This was in Persia. The Amir was, among the Amirs, was Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And whilst the Muslims were sieging, this was a difficult siege because the people of this area were very, very treacherous. And one of the governors here was a man by the name of Hurmuzan, and he had betrayed the Muslims on many occasions. But during the siege, the Persians, from the top of their walls, had heated and melted these hooks. And as Muslims were sieging, they would cast down these hooks upon the Muslims besieging their fortress. And if this hook, because it was heated to the hilt and to its peak and an apex, if it would strike any Muslim, it would penetrate and permeate his body instantaneously. And then they would lift this Muslim, because they were holding on to the chains on the top of the wall. And as they would lift him, and by the time he reaches the top, because they would pull, most probably by the time he would reach the top of the wall, he would be dead already. Or he would reach there with little bit of life remaining, and then they would sever him in front of everyone, instilling fear into the Muslims. And sadly, one of these hooks struck Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. It penetrated his skin and permeated his body. It stuck onto him, and they lifted this great sahabi, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was being lifted, Allahu Akbar, someone mentioned to his brother, Bara, oh Bara, see what happened to Hazrat Anas. And from wherever he was on that battlefield, he ran towards the wall. He jumped from the ground onto the wall, using it as a springboard, then jumping onto the chain that was heated, with the one hand holding onto the chain and the other hand trying to maneuver this melting hot hook out of his brother's body. And imagine, as he was pulling out the hook out of his brother that had permeated into his brother's body, his hand was melting. His flesh had actually, you know, got burnt out. He only had skeleton left on his hands, but he managed to pull out the hook from his brother's body and saved his brother. He then jumped down, but he didn't have any flesh left on his brother's hands. But for Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu, it was worth it, because he rescued his brother Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, the great Hazrat Anas, who was the khadim of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The amazing part comes later on, subhanallah, when sahaba continued to siege. Remember Hazrat Anas and Hazrat Bara. As sahaba were sieging this fortress, after months of effort and many skirmishes, someone from inside sends a letter to Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari requesting to meet him. When the letter comes, he says, if you give me amnesty, I trust you Muslims, I want to meet you. He comes out to meet Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. He explains the situation, that Hurmuzan has been treacherous to myself and my family. We are from royalty as well, but we do not trust him. We trust the Muslims. If you give me amnesty, I will show you an entry into the city. Hazrat Anas radiallahu, Hazrat Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu then calls Hazrat Majza'a bin Thawr al-Sadusi, saying, Majza'a, what you do is get me one of your men who's very brave and very, very strong with resilience, and I want him to go with this individual who will show us an entry point into the city. So he, Hazrat Majza'a, says, O Amir Sahab, O governor, O commander, would you allow me to be that individual who carries out this task? He says, of course. And Hazrat Majza'a then goes. He prepares himself and he goes with this guide underground. They go into this underground tunnel. It was really a difficult tunnel. At times they had to swim, at times they had to crawl, at times there was few tunnels, and he had to actually remember the exact tunnel that would lead him to the entry point, the secret entry into the city. As after difficulty they enter to the drain that allows them and gives them, leads them into the city. They come into the city. What was the instruction of the Amir? Remember the route, and the other is decipher who is Hormuzan. He enters and the guide shows him the person of Hormuzan. At that point the thought crosses his mind, why don't I get the job done and end of Hormuzan there and then? And he was about to take his arrow, but he remembered the instruction of his Amir that don't do more than what I am telling you to do. Just fulfill this task and finish. He leaves his arrow. He now makes his way back, and now he has to gather his men to actually now enter the city together with his men and engage in battle to actually open the front door for the Muslims, so that the door in front of the fortress can allow the Muslims entry. He gathers a large sum of his men and he now gives them guidance on how to enter, how to dress, how they will penetrate through the secret passage into the city. The incident is lengthy. We will continue with the discussion. But we learn so much from the Sahabi Hazrat Anas and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Let us play our part in sharing Allah's deen, in striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, in uniting people, in loving people, in spending the lives Allah has given us correctly, in serving humanity. Allah blessed Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu with such a beautiful life, such a lengthy life where he thoroughly exerted himself in bringing alive the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in teaching humanity. Until he was the last Sahabi to leave this world in Basra. He was 103 when he left this world. And it was the year 93 Hijri. So let us make it count. And let's aspire to inspire before we expire. Allah give us tawfiq.